So Paul tells us these three things about the kingdom of God: righteousness, peace, and joy. But then we find these three in the Holy Spirit. So today, if you want to give this a short title, I want to talk about repent to experience the kingdom of God. So please, somebody say repent to experience the kingdom of God. Okay, so that will be the topic. And as we are following that theme, and the theme, like you know, we explain these themes, we don't just come up with them. God sends his word ahead of time to tell us this is what he's sending to us. Month after month, we receive this ahead of time. We already know what God is saying to us about July, for example. So the kingdom of God is our focus. And, you know, I want to appreciate our brother and his wife, our pastor for the month, Apostle Damola and Yeti Cruz. He set us off on the foundation when we had the communion service 2 weeks ago about the kingdom of God. And we were rubbing hearts this morning and rubbing minds. And he was sharing with me the same thing that the Spirit of God was showing me about the kingdom of God. And when we look at the kingdom of God, as Paul has defined it, if you are in the kingdom, if you are part of the kingdom, and let me explain what the kingdom is. It comes from two words: the king and his dominion, or the king and the domain of the king. So where the king has dominion is the king's domain. And that's where you get the word kingdom. For example, we are in the United Kingdom. And who has dominion? And whose domain is here? Please talk to me. Does his domain or dominion extend to Spain? Why? He's not part of the kingdom. So he has no dominion in Spain. The king of Spain has, that's his own domain. Some of us, please give me the name of your village. Does King Charles have dominion over your village? Not anymore. Are you trying to tell us there was before? So what happened? Did you rebel? He lost dominion. You were given independence. You see, that's the reality about this kingdom. The kingdom of God is not by force. It's by choice. We are not automatically in his domain. We are not automatically under the king. The king, that is God. We are not automatically in his domain. Yes, the Bible tells us his kingdom rules over all. But Jesus Christ comes to let us understand that it is as many as received him that he gives what? The power to become part of the kingdom. It's not automatic. I'm telling you, one of the greatest powers God gave mankind is the power of choice. And we will be talking about that, because you will understand where repentance comes in. You will begin to see, if you've heard repent, 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 and you don't know what it means, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, we will have a little understanding today. So please remember, the kingdom of God is not by force, it is by choice. I choose to be part of the kingdom. I like that analogy. In the, you know, the olden days, there was the Commonwealth and all the Commonwealth nations. You had the Queen of England then, now is the King. And our domain was over all the Commonwealth, the nations in the Commonwealth. But one after the other, they all exercised the power of choice. And what was it? You know what? We don't want you ruling over us again. We want independence. And you know, in reality, as it relates with God, you and I can decide we want to be independent of God. Why? Because you have the power to exercise your choice. It is not by force. And please let me quickly chip this in, Holy Spirit, thank you. Love is not by force. You choose to love. You make up your mind to love. Love is not a feeling. Love is a person. And if you receive this person of love and allow this person of love to dwell on the inside of you, you come under the domain and the dominion of love. Then love begins to rule you. The Bible says, beloved, 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 8. Let us, look at that word let. That tells you there's choice. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and anyone who chooses to love is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. Love is a person, a personality in the person of God. And the expressed image of God is Jesus. So the love of God, the Bible says, that passes all understanding. That love is beyond human understanding. It's incomprehensible. You just choose to love. Excuse me, human understanding tells me if you slap me, I should slap you back. I'm not a fool. But Jesus said, when they slap you, what should you do? All right, can we demonstrate it now? Let's see the power of choice. I choose to slap you, bro. You should wait. Did you say you should wait? I'm coming to slap you instead. Maybe you should demonstrate. Love says, Jesus says, when they slap you on one cheek, what should you do? The turning of the other cheek is an act of your will. You can choose not to turn the other cheek. You can actually choose to go and take up a boxing gloves and give a right hook, left hook, and uppercut. It's all choice. It is incomprehensible. Just obey. The rule of the kingdom is you obey the king. The king does not rule by democracy. It's not that you vote, you legislate and decide what the king should happen in the king's kingdom. No, he's the king. Whatever he says, rules. It's not a democracy. And that brings me to what two people preached about this kingdom. We see the first person called John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3, let's look at him. He was preaching about the kingdom of God. So please hold it at the back of your mind. Kingdom is what? The king and his dominion. The domain where the king has dominion. Where the word of the king rules. And the rulership means I submit willingly to be under the kingdom. It's not by force. It's by choice. If you are trying to force somebody to love you, you've missed it. Husband, stop trying to force your wife to love you. The king of this kingdom says, husband, love your wife. He didn't say when you feel it. When you wake up on the right side of the bed. When she cooks food for you. Or she doesn't cook food. That's when you love her. And the king of the kingdom. Do you know what he said to the wives? Submit to your own husband. Not because he loves you or he doesn't love you. Because he said it. Somebody said it doesn't make sense. See, you can't even say it. How can I submit to somebody who doesn't love me? How can I love a woman who doesn't cook food for me? By the way, something offended my theology during the week when somebody took us through a Bible study about men and cooking. The women's ears are open now. The men are shutting down slowly. I know you. Men and cooking. And it was saying that any man that wants to actually be Christ-like should know how to cook. Hey, that's an uppercut. Any man that wants to be Christ-like should know how to. He said, because Jesus cooked. He cooked fish. At least know how to cook fish. Oh, man. Some of the men are not happy now. I have just offended. I've created offense. Uncle Charles, this gospel we preach is a gospel of offense. Uncle Charles leads our evangelistic outreach team in the church. So it's offensive. It will offend you. Offend your thinking. Scatter your the way you have been brought up. A woman's place is in the kitchen. Men should be the one, just come, cross your leg, give me food. If he doesn't give me food, I won't love her. Son, Jesus, please, all the men, don't talk to a woman. Look for a man around you and say, Jesus cooked. Can you cook? Sir, why are you picking water? I said, go. Look. Oh, okay. Please don't go to daddy. Don't go to daddy. Don't try it. Jesus cooked. Can you cook? I was brought up by my late mom. Three of us boys. When we were around 6, 7 years old, she summoned all of us. I was seven. My younger brother was 6. My older brother was 10. Summoned all of us one day to the kitchen. Said, from today, I'm going to teach you how to cook. And I was a rebellious one, trust me. I fought. I did everything. She wouldn't listen to us. She made us cook. And after she took us through Mommy's MFC, Mommy's Fried Kentucky, Mommy's MFC, Mommy's Fried Chicken, School of MFC. She said, from today, when she comes back from work, she's going to cross her leg. Her husband, our dad, will sit beside him. We will go inside the kitchen and cook for her and her husband and the entire house. She made a timetable and weekly timetable. Each one of us will cook for the whole house. I hated my mom for it. I told her this is child abuse. This is wickedness. This is I didn't say unscriptural because I didn't know anything then. But one day she said, I am training you so that one day when you get married, you'll be a responsible man. You will know how to look after your wives and your family. Somebody say, ouch. Okay. Only Chris Harris said, ouch. I know why you said ouch. It's because you are not married. When he marries now, he will come. Pastor, my wife does not cook for me. Excuse me. You better spend this time now that you are not married yet to learn how to cook. Wow, all the women are happy. Lord, I must preach this gospel. Did Jesus cook? Did he cook fish? And mind you, he cooked for all his disciples. All of them. Children, do you have any fish? And he cooked. What did he put there again? What are you saying, sir? I hope you cook for your wife. The way you are, you know, you are excited. I'm talking about your husband. You. Yes, because you are so excited. Does he cook for you? Good. He cooked for all. So if you want to be a Christian, become like Christ. Cook. And listen, women, don't go home now. I'm going to cross your leg. Because the Bible talks about the virtuous woman too. You are saying hum, hum, now. You did not say hum, hum. When I was talking about men cooking, you didn't say hum, hum. It's now hum. Repent, brother. The kingdom of God is at hand. Excuse me, while we're joking, this is serious stuff. I'm not joking. You can laugh all you want, but I'm not joking. Enough of all the nonsense. We're twisting the Bible and putting things in the Bible that the Bible didn't say. Did Jesus cook? I'm asking you. Why are you looking at me like that? He only cooked fish. He grilled fish. Okay, don't worry. He grilled fish. This is summer. Go and get barbecue stuff and be grilling. No, this is serious stuff. Now, this is where I'm going. So John began to preach this gospel. So let's hear what he said about the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, some people are very uncomfortable now. I will not say what is not in the Bible. And did you hear what my wife said? They didn't hear. That's why they're not clapping. Do you want me to say what she said? I'm not saying it. Yeah, let's hear the word of God. Let's hear the word of God. Okay, she said, by the way, you're a good cook. Yeah. Okay. Let me tell you something. People, let me tell you something. A lot of problems we have in marriage is because we have created marriage in our own image. We've not created it according to the word of God. Please, women, I'm not saying you shouldn't cook. I never said that. Okay, let's balance it. The virtuous woman, Proverbs chapter 31. She prepares well for our entire household. Makes cloth, makes everything. She's like a merchant ship. She brings forth her fruit in season. But we're talking about the kingdom. It's not a kingdom of force. You choose to obey what the king says. So John was preaching about this kingdom. Now let's see what he said about the kingdom. Matthew chapter 3 from verse 1. And we read to verse 3. A lot of problems we have in our homes is because we don't do the word of God, we do the word of men. We follow the traditions, the cultures of men, and Jesus even warned, these traditions does not make it makes the word of God to have no effect in your life. So please balance it. Everybody should learn how to cook. Male and female created them and bless them to cook. He didn't say that, but you have to be blessed means to be empowered. Empowered. You are empowered to prosper. Prosper in anything you lay your hands upon, including fish, barbecue, tilapia, bread, rice, catfish. Is that your favorite? Fisherman soup, pepper soup. Everybody, if we all do what we're empowered, what we're blessed to do, we won't have problems. We will not have problems, please. I'm happy that you heard what my wife said, because I'll be a hypocrite if I'm standing here telling men cook and I don't cook. I can ask my children. These are, they are men now. At times they just sit down, go inside the kitchen and cook this delicacy called amala for everybody in the house, because my mother taught me to cook. And please, it's never too late for you to learn to cook, male and female. It's never too late. Sorry, if you don't know how to cook, listen, if you don't know how to cook, why am I emphasizing on cooking? Something is cooking here. Listen, if you don't know how to cook, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Right? And ask your spouse, who knows how to cook, teach me how to cook. That's part of love. Love is sharing, caring. You know, how do you make that thing? Sit down. You're a woman. You don't know how to make it. Tell your husband to teach you. You see how your home will prosper. But no. No. It's not my place. Who told you it's not your place? Then you are not in this kingdom. You are not in this kingdom. Okay, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, what was he preaching? He was preaching the, but what did he say before the kingdom of God? Repent. Do you know what repent means? Change the way you think. Start thinking properly. Start thinking in line with the kingdom. If you are not ready to allow the word of God to change your thinking, you are not ready to enjoy and experience the riches of the kingdom of God. The first thing is repent. Change the way you think. Have a change of mind. Come to your senses. Listen to what the king is saying, the king of the kingdom. Be ready to accept whatever he says, irrespective of your culture and your tradition. Because coming under this kingdom and the rulership of this king requires you are ready to change the way you think and accept the thinking of the kingdom. I've just told you one. Jesus cooked. Are you a Christian? Are you Christ-like? Then do what Jesus did. Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also, even greater works. One of the works he did, he cooked. He cooked fish. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Let's go. In the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. The topic today is what? Repentance. What did I say is the topic again? Repent to experience. Mark chapter 1, two or three witnesses. Mark's account, chapter 1 and verse 1. There's a lot of trouble. We will save ourselves from a lot of trouble in this world if we repent. If we change our thinking, if we are ready to accept the word of the king in the kingdom we claim we are part of. There are so many things. We're just focusing. I just don't know why I'm talking about cooking. I don't know why. Maybe the Spirit of God is cooking healthy couples and healthy families. From today, your family will be healthy. Mark chapter 1. The Bible says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face. Who will prepare your way before you? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching what? A baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea, those from Jerusalem went to him, were all baptized by him in Jordan River, confessing their sins. The first prerequisite to enjoy and experience righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost is to repent. Be ready to change your mind, to let the word of God come and affect your thinking. That's the simplest definition of repent. Repentance is not that I'm sorry, and then you go back to do the same thing again. It shows your thinking has not changed. Altar call. Give your life to Jesus. They lead you. And then you repeat sinner's prayer. And then you go back thinking the same way. That's not repentance. You know, you can be sorry because you are caught and never repent. Change the way you think and you will experience and enjoy righteousness. You will start seeing joy. Joy from within, joy from without. Peace everywhere. Now, Jesus too now picked up the gauntlet. Here, Jesus too. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus comes and begins to preach. John makes the way for Jesus and starts by saying, change the way you think, because the kingdom of God is here. Be ready to accept what the king says, not what you think. The king of the kingdom. The king here is the king of kings, the lord of lords, the king of all kings. Is God, the source of all intelligence and all life, the one who created the earth and knows the best way the earth can run, the one who created mankind and knows the best way mankind can bring out the best out of themselves. Listen, it is the manufacturer of a thing that knows how the thing will work optimally. Most of us, we buy equipment. I'm very guilty. And then it comes with something called what? A manual. Manual is the manufacturer's instructions, the thoughts behind the product. If you want to use this product, they will tell you, read carefully, follow the instructions before use. B-I-B-L-E, Bible, contains the manufacturer's manual of how you and I should run our lives. But do we read? Do we obey? I love one definition, B-I-B-L-E acronym. Basic instructions before living eternity. Jesus, let's read what Jesus, Matthew 14:14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 14, the Bible says Jesus, and when Jesus, did I say Matthew? Chapter 4, sorry, not 14. Thank you. I hope the media team, are you displaying it? Verse 14, let's see what Jesus too preached. The Bible says Jesus came in verse 14. Right? Let me just see. Okay, let's just read from verse 14. Verse 14 says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say. Is it displayed? What did he say? What's the first thing he said? Please say it out loud. What does it mean to repent? Change the way you think. Change your mind. Let the words of the king change the way you think. If you want to enjoy the righteousness, peace in this kingdom, then follow the law that the king has put forward in this kingdom. The Bible tells us that that was what Jesus too was preaching. He was preaching about repentance. Do you really know what it means to be born again? It doesn't mean you die and then you come back to life, go into your mother's womb. No, Jesus explained to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Some of us are born of the flesh and we are still in the flesh and operating by the flesh. You operate everything by the flesh. The flesh, you're feeling, this is where I feel. Da, 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 da. I don't feel loved anymore. I don't feel my husband. I don't feel my wife anymore. I don't feel in this kingdom is not about feelings. It's about obedience. Irrespective of how you feel. Some people can't comprehend that. No. I don't feel like forgiving. Just leave me until I feel it. We will leave you. And the moment you don't forgive, the king explains, you are going into the tormentor's chamber. You will be tormented. All manner of sick. The devil will start experimenting in your body. Headache, migraine, your blood. Some people, anytime I see that person, my blood just boils. You are dying. You don't know. High blood pressure. Please give me all the pressures. No. Until I feel it, I won't forgive. Don't forgive. Just enjoy the tormentor's chamber for a season. Because you're not ready to forgive, to love. And listen, this love of God, the main thing about the love of God is forgiveness. It starts with forgiveness itself. It starts with forgiveness. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. You are forgiven from that which will perish you, but have everlasting life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You're not joyful because you're not happy. And listen, he tells us even when we have the Spirit of God that there are fruit, because repentance, how we know you repent, is number one, the way you think. Your thinking has changed. When I first married my wife 25 years ago, we were two little children, misbehaving, throwing tantrums. Well, I still do once in a while. But then, I've grown up that I know if there's strife between my wife and I've opened the door to the devil into my mind, into my home, into everything I lay my hands upon. Enjoy. Enjoy. Enjoy the strife. Don't forgive. Wait until they say sorry. Because if they don't say sorry, I won't forgive. Wait. Enjoy the tormentor's chamber. You better repent. You better wake up. Next week, God will help us. We will look at true repentance. But I will jump to introduce us to that prodigal son. We see that story in the book of Luke. We will look at it in depth if the Spirit of God permits us next week. Next week is Father's Day. Do you know that father is not even a title? It means that you now think like a father. And who is the father? Abba, God. That's what makes you a father, not that you have children. You think like a father. You think like God, Abba. He loves, he forgives, he rewards. He's kind to the unthankful and to the unthankful. Whether you say thank you or not. It hurts me when people are ingrates. But then I just tell myself quickly. Maybe you two have been an ingrate in the past and you are reaping what you have sowed. You better wake up and talk to yourself and shake it off and move on. You are sitting down. They didn't say thank you. You are hurt. And then you are in that tormentous chamber of hurt until they come to say sorry, and they will never come. Listen, I prophesy to you. They won't come to say sorry. Yeah, somebody needs to hear that. They will never say sorry. So you choose if you want to remain in that place of torment or you want to move on and obey the words of the king. Listen, that boy, we know the story, but we'll dissect it. That guy knew who he was. He was the son of a wealthy man. And he knew he has inheritance. And he went to his father. Give me my portion. Apparently, the older one didn't know. Because that one still stayed there. We always bash that older guy that he has a slave mentality. But some of us, we are actually kings and we are princes and princesses, but we are still thinking like slaves. And we are enslaved in bondage to sin, to the devil, to the torments that we shouldn't be. We should be enjoying and experiencing the kingdom, the righteousness, the peace, and the joy that is in the kingdom of God. So this boy, give me my portion. He takes his portion, went away, you know the story, and blew everything. He blew everything. Listen, Apostle Cruz, I saw something. When he found out he has lost everything, he began to live like he went to the citizen of that strange land where he went. Some of us are in strange places, not physically, but in your mind. That's why you're having strange dreams, strange nightmares, hanging around strange people, attracting strange things into your life because you refuse to repent. He was in that strange land and he went to join. And they threw him to go and look after pigs. The Bible said he was very hungry. So they sent him to work and they didn't even give him food. He was so hungry, so broken, that the only alternative he had was now to be eating food meant for pigs. Oh, come on. Somebody get yourself out of that. What's that? What do they call that? Where pigs dwell. Pigsty. Your life is, if you look around you, your life resembles a pigsty. But this word is coming today to liberate you. Get out of that place. How did this boy get out of that place? The Bible said he came to himself. Apostle Cruz, that boy, he came to himself. Sir, come. Please, this is just drama. Please wake up if you have not seen anything before. Wake up now. Maybe this is myself. All right? So this is myself. So me and myself. Everywhere I go is myself. So for as long as I'm myself, I am myself. Okay? I think like myself. I behave like myself because I know myself. But then I start misbehaving and I leave myself behind. The moment you leave yourself, you lose your identity. Who are you? You are the son, the daughter of a king. You should think, behave like a king's child. So, he left himself and he began to suffer. He began to live like what he wasn't, a slave eating pig's food. Then one day, Babatunde, I'm laughing. No one knows what I'm saying when I say Babatunde. By the way, I've dealt with those children. They were racist towards me. They were calling me Babatunde. Don't worry. You don't know what that means. Yeah, I had to teach the children how to think. See, the problem with racism is thinking. How did I get there? Where was I? I'm away from myself. So one day, he looked around. Pigs! Me! Me! Uncle Charles, me, where, hey, that's where I should be, myself. The young man came to himself. And you know what? This is very interesting. This is repentance, guys. Sorry, did I call you guys? Maybe I should repent from using guys. People of God, brethren, when he came to himself, he began to talk to himself, reminding himself the son of who he is. Some of you, you've lost yourself.
Some of you don't know yourself anymore because you have dropped the thinking of a kingdom child. You are behaving like somebody. If you are not in the kingdom of God, you are in the kingdom of the devil. There is no neutral zone. There's no in between. What was he telling himself? Ah! Me! Big! Me! My father! Ah! Even a slave in my father's house does not live this way. He came to himself, spoke to himself, and let me tell you what he did. He took full responsibility of his action. This is the problem some of us have. I was talking to somebody recently and the person was playing victim. And when I was having problem, nobody came to my rescue. Nobody. Excuse me? You brought the problem on yourself. Accept that first. Sorry, I'm shouting because I'm angry in the spirit now. You know, Jesus had to shout, Lazarus, come forth. Some of us need to hear that shout. Because you are dead, you need to come back alive. Came to himself. Took full responsibility. I have sinned against heaven and against my Father. Let me tell you, when God began to deal with me to teach me what repentance means. Remember, this kingdom is not by force, it's by... So in life, we make choices. And the choices we make has consequences. For example, you are the one who chose the person you wanted to marry. I don't care what revelation you saw. And we hear revelation a lot. God told me to marry. God told me to do this. I saw an angel. The angel was flying. And when the angel flew, he said, your wife, your husband. Excuse me, you still had a choice. Now that you have chosen the choice, please, myself is going away from me. Please, myself, I'm begging you. Please. If yourself moves, just move after yourself. Okay? Listen. Now your choices, you are seeing the consequences of your choices. You are blaming the pastor who probably encouraged you to marry. Even if the pastor encouraged you to marry, it's still your... That's why, you know, my wife and I, we've learned something. Somebody came to us many years ago and said, my marriage has broken down. And it's the pastor of the church that was before, he told me to marry this woman and blah, 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 blah. Depression, everything. The guy has lost his mind today, sadly, and I'm praying in my heart for him. Excuse me, take full responsibility for your choices. That is the first place to start from. Don't blame somebody else. Even if they gave you counsel, good counsel, that is the first place to start from. Repentance, take full responsibility. I chose. This is my choice. I'm living with the consequences. If you are ready to take full responsibility, God is ready to show you mercy. But you want to keep blaming somebody else? Why did you eat the fruit? It is the wife you gave me. Wife, why did you eat the fruit? It is the serpent that deceived me. Do you know what she was saying directly? Who created the serpent? Some of us are still blaming God. Because when you push that responsibility of your own choice to somebody else you don't accept, you are blaming God. And God can never be blamed, people. You have a choice. Can we end today that we want to choose to repent? And you know what? God, whatever I'm suffering today, whatever is happening around me today, I take full responsibility from today, and I'm asking you for your mercy. Show me the way out. For as long as you keep seeing someone or something to blame, you will never see the way out.
you will.
And listen, it's not only you that suffers the consequences of your choices.
Sadly, my wife and I suffer a lot for other people's choices. I don't sleep, she doesn't sleep. But I'm not, I chose to be a pastor, okay? So I'm not complaining. But it's high time we tell people the truth, that please, for once in your life, take responsibility for your choices. Please, myself, go and sit down. All right, let us pray, people. Let's pray. Come to yourself. Can we talk to ourselves for just a few minutes? Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Come back, child of God. Come back. God is merciful. Come back. God is loving. Come back. He makes a way where there seems to be none. But come to yourself. Tell yourself. Take full responsibility. Lord, I made the choice. I made the choice. From today, I blame nobody. I do not blame my counselor. I'm not blaming any advisor. From today, I talk to myself. I don't like where I am. There is a way, but it's the way of repentance. The way of repentance. Talk to yourself. Do you want your life to continue that same way? As we're talking to ourselves, I pray, Father, confirm your word as you have spoken. This is a word of liberation, not a word of condemnation. I rebuke that spirit of condemnation. Talk to yourself, don't condemn yourself. The prodigal son did not condemn himself. Listen, he did not say, "Woe is me, I'm finished." He didn't condemn himself. He said, "I will go to my father. I will go. I will arise and go." He didn't say, I deserve to die here, so I must die. That's not the love of God. The mercy of God prevails where we should be judged. But you are judged when you first judge yourself. I know what I suffered in this country when I first came to this country, until the day God showed me. You are suffering. Don't blame this person. I told you not to go there. You went there. You opened up yourself to all this attack. Take full responsibility and I will set you free. I bring you the word of liberation. I rebuke every spirit of condemnation. I say, receive liberation today. Holy Spirit, make a way where there seems to be none. Yes, Lord. Make it ever true. Is Elder Philip? Change my heart. Oh, change my heart. Oh, God. Lord, I want to think like you. I want to think like a child, a prince, a princess. I am a king. I should reign in life. I should take dominion, not be dominated. Father, thank you. I pray and I thank you for the unexplainable miracles that are happening. Things are happening, people. You will see how things will begin to go right. How joy that has eluded you over the years will return. How peace will return. I rebuke that storm. I rebuke that storm, even if it's self-inflicted. In the name of Jesus, peace be still. But child of God, he that Jesus sets free is free indeed. I declare you're free. In the name of Jesus,